have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question for this week, a doozy, an amazing doozy. Where are you seeking to exert yourself? Where are you seeking to exert yourself? Amazing question, huh? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and doing whatever it is that you're doing, and you just got to run around. You would love to sit and watch the show, but you got to go do what you're doing. You could podcast the show and listen to it on your phone by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, or Bun JLP Cash App, Bun JLP Cash App. It is Wednesday already. What now? It's Wednesday. And the third hour of the show on Wednesday is Manhood Hour. And the first 2 hours, because we love the blacks, is Black Excellence. What's wrong with the black?
It blows my mind how black people go in everybody else's business and bully them.
I want to make sure we agree on that first.
No, we disagree.
Hold on.
I'm on your ass, Jesse.
What the?
Come on, Coon.
Hey, Tony. My mirror flew about to come off.
I think you've pretty much pissed off everybody.
E-black. So, update. The phones are working again, folks. For the last 2 days, the phones were not working. Not only was not the call-in phone number working, but the office line number were not working. And it wasn't our fault. I can truly tell you that. We got this update from the telephone company that they were having some type of issues. And so we got on them on Monday. Hey, you got to come and fix the phones. And they finally came yesterday. And it seemed that all of the phones are finally
get
working.
Get behind me, Satan.
Again, that's right. And so they're all working now, all right? And so welcome back on the show. I one of the smartest white men is in this planet is here. He is the friend of Bond, Jesse V. Peterson, and everyone around the world. He's here every month, the last of every month. Bill Lockwood, y'all know who it is. I hear from you all the time how much you love Bill Lockwood. He is the host of Patriotic Pulpit, and Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. He's a preacher at Arwell Park Church of Christ in Texas. And his website, and we're going to give it out again and again, is, how do you say it, Nick? KOFO?
That is the letters KO-FI.com/patriotic pulpit. That's KO-FI.com/patriotic pulpit.
Right on. Good morning, Bill.
And Jesse, how are you today?
All is well. How are you?
Good. I had to turn my phone off here real quickly.
Okay, absolutely. 888-7753-773. And I see your calls coming in.
Yeah, I had to turn that thing off. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no. I understand.
I didn't turn it off. As soon as you said good morning, my phone was ringing. I thought, okay, what's happening here?
Amazing. When I become president, I'm getting rid of all cell phones.
Boy, that's a good idea.
And you're going to have a landline.
Especially in school. They need to get rid of them in schools. That's right.
It's amazing that teachers or the principal of the school allow these kids to bring phones to school, and that the parents would allow the children to take their phones to school. It's not even necessary.
You know, it's a sad situation because the school systems have traditionally said, at least those that in this area have said, you know, we can't have cell phones in school and we don't want the children to have them. But they were so prominent and so prevalent in the classroom that the teachers began using the cell phones, and they say, well, let's play a game and everybody get on this website. And so they create a little website for the classroom and everybody vote. It's just, it's so out of control because that's what's happening in the public school system. So a lot of places, they're trying to crack down on it and say, you'll know, and the same thing with Chromebooks. The Chromebooks that they use in the public school systems are really not productive. I think they're hindering really good learning. But at any rate, that's the technology. Technology has its place, but it shouldn't take over everything. So that's the classroom,
What are Chromebooks?
Well, it's a computer, a Chromebook. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Every student at Wichita Christian, for example, where I am, is issued a Chromebook, and every student at WFISD, where I was, in Wichita Falls, the independent school district, was issued a Chromebook, and is just a computer that they use. But you know, the teachers end up having to be. They have firewalls on them, so the kids can't get to sites that they don't want them to be on. But the teachers end up simply monitoring on their home screen what all the classroom is doing and what websites they're going to. And these kids, they know how to go around the firewalls. They know how to skirt around it. They go to websites that they shouldn't be on, and they send messages to one another. And it's out of control, but it's really hindering good learning.
Right. I remember when we were not allowed to use ADA machines in our class, and we had to figure out the problem ourselves. And then when they first started bringing ADA machine calculators, I think they called calculators.
Yeah, right.
But in those days, they were called ADA machines. And we had to figure the math out ourselves. And then they finally started to allow calculators to come in. But it made us dumber because we stopped using our brains to figure out the problem.
Right. Yeah. So that's exactly what's happened, not only in mathematics, but seemingly in everything. That is, they use AI to help write papers. They use AI for everything. They use the internet to figure out different equations in science. And regarding history, they just look up an answer. And then instead of reading a book.
Yeah.
And gleaning what they need to know out of a book, they simply put in a question to the internet and they find out the answer. So that's So that's basically what's happening in the public school system. The kids have gone away from. So I remember in the public classroom, the kids did not want to read a book. And they said, if you make me read a book, then I'm not going to read a book and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're just rebellious about it. They're so addicted to it. It's an addiction that they get into the cell phone. So that's what they want to do. But that's what's happening.
When you were in high school, were it called calculators or add machines?
Well, they were calculators, but I was not very adept at using those anyway. So because I did not do well in math, but they were calculators.
Oh, okay. One other thing about that, great big ones.
They're great big ones.
Yeah, sure was. That's amazing.
Yeah.
One other thing I realized too, as a result of the cell phone, I don't remember phone numbers anymore. I remember before the cell phone came about, I would remember my own son's phone number and just dial it because I would remember it, or my family members or someone. And now I have to look it up on the cell phone because I don't remember the numbers anymore.
That's right. And a lot of people in our age bracket remember the phone number that they grew up with.
Yeah.
But we don't remember phone numbers now. But I remember the number that I had when I was in high school. I remember the home number there. And a lot of people are that way. They remember the numbers they had long ago. They remember the numbers of their friends. But now we don't. I don't know anybody's number. I don't even know my own number. I can hardly think of my own number. What's my number? Yeah.
What a mess.
It is a mess.
Oh, God. So before I want to talk to you about the Southern Poverty Law Center's situation, but the other day there was another assassination attempt against the Great White Hope. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? It goes back to places like the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's the very purpose of the SPLC, is to gin up hatred and violence on the left. That's the very purpose of it. They continue to use the epithets against conservatives. They continue to have a hate map and talk about the hatred on the right, and they simply gin up all the hatred. So what is happening in our country, the Democratic Party has become simply the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they have created this narrative of hatred that Trump's a fascist and Trump's a dictator and Trump wants to be king and there's no king protest. And so they continue to go in that direction, even though they don't even know what fascism is. They just continue to drive that narrative. And so when that narrative is driven, it actually creates some of this on the bottom. That is the people that are what is Vladimir Lenin called, the useful idiots. That is, they don't understand what's really happening in the country. And they're simply driven by the mainstream media narrative. And so that's what's happening here. And that's why this guy, he hates Trump. And another thing that I wanted to point out, it's not simply labeling. The Southern Poverty Law Center, as well as the left itself, has inherited basically communistic ideology and Marxist ideology, which is rooted in atheism. And since it's rooted in atheism, that means that there is no God, that there is not any reason not to do the acts of violence that they continue to push. And so they continue to push the acts of violence and create people that are wanting to carry out the acts of violence. And so that's what's happening. The left is completely godless. And that's what's driving so much of this. So it's when you have godlessness, and then you continue to drive the narrative that the right is filled with fascists and communists, or fascists and Nazis and kings and wannabe dictators, then you have created a really boiling pot in America.
So according to Axios, FBI director has cut all ties to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they call themselves a civil rights group that tracks hate motivation violence across the U.S. I remember they had me and my organization on their list at one time.
Sure did.
As a racist thing.
Yeah, you are a white white supremacist, or an apologist for white supremacy. So here's an interesting thing. What got me really keyed into what was going on here, many years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, you remember Carol Swain, who's a black Christian woman, just a great Christian woman. And Carol Swain was at the University of Vanderbilt. I believe it was in Vanderbilt University.
Right.
And she headed up a commission that was looking at the border problem in America. And so the border problem, she had people from the left and on the right, and the commission, because she had individuals on that commission that stood for the Constitution and securing our borders, as the Constitution actually affirms, then they labeled her as an apologist for white supremacy. And it's like, what are you talking about? Well, because any conservative group, like the Family Research Council, that group is considered a hate group because they stand for traditional Christian values.
All right.
And even though they have people who are, for example, the CEO of the Southern Poverty Law Center now had been a professor at the University of Alabama, a law professor. They're all law professors, but they absolutely are on the left side of the spectrum, far left, and they continue to gin up this hatred against the right, and that this is how they do it. So Carol Swain was put on that list, the Family Research Council, the John Birch Society, Jesse Lee Peterson, anybody who stands for traditional family values was considered a target. They even have a target map where they have all these hate groups, supposedly. And that was the ostensible reason for their existence. But what they were actually doing was they're a pro-communist group. They had communist members, that is pro-communist individuals, on the board. And they were continuing to gin up the hatred against the right in order that they might create. This is classic communist strategy. Create chaos on the bottom in order that we might have from the top coming down, a pincer strategy, and coming down from the top. So, for example, in the Biden administration, Joe Biden could not say this enough. He said the main problem in America, the main threat is the white supremacist. Where does he get all that? That comes from people like the Southern Poverty Law Center, who absolutely create this narrative in order that we might have control from the top, that is the Democratic Party crushing us down from the top to the bottom.
That's amazing. And it's been reported, and I forgot exactly how they said it, but they discovered that the SPLC were paying, I think, and I may be recording wrong, folks, so I apologize, but they found out that these people were paying what they call racist organizations to be racist.
Like correct.
The KKK and other organizations. Were that true that they were paying these people to carry out violence and stuff?
So that's the allegation that the FBI has uncovered. So that's exactly, okay, let's just back up for a moment. That is classic communist strategy. Antonio Gramsci was an Italian Marxist who died, I think, about 1937. But his idea regarding how to get communism in America, or how to get communism in a free country. And that is, you absolutely create the chaos on the bottom, and at the same time, then you're able to come down, as I mentioned a moment ago, the pincer strategy from the top. And so you have so you create so much of a problem down here that, boy, the lawmakers just have to get busy, and they have to crush what they perceive as the problems on the bottom. But how do you get the problems on the bottom? Well, you create those problems purposefully in order that you might have an excuse to have the Democrats in Congress, who work hand in glove with the communists, to create the laws that will crush such organizations as Jesse Lee Peterson or the Family Research Council or the John Birch Society, and crush them and put a stop to them. So that's how you have to do it. So that was the pincer strategy. Consequently, they paid informants. This is the allegation, and they apparently paid hundreds of millions of dollars to the KKK and other organizations such as that in order that they might say, look how much white hatred we have in America. Look how much white supremacy we have in America. The main problem in America is the KKK. And this, so, but they pay it to continue to grow it in order that they might target it. And they show people, say, yeah, we've got so much white supremacy problem. But they pay it to grow. Amazing. On the bottom. And that's why they do it.
And so since if that's true, and allegedly they said that happened, and the KKK were predominantly white group, why would a white group who's already being accused of being racist and hateful, why would they accept money from this SPLC to present themselves as a hate group, since white people are already accused of that? Why would they support that?
Well, it is hard to turn down millions of dollars to help your organization grow. If you are, for example, a small part-time, let's just say a small part-time radio programmer, podcaster like myself, who always has a bootstrap, we're financially, we're just always kind of bumping along on the bottom.
Right.
And I'm being offered $100 million, or maybe let's just say $1 million to go ahead and get out there and say what I want to say. That's hard to turn down. So, you know, people are, well, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. So they cause it to grow. And so they have a hard time turning that down. So all of these, you just funnel money to the bottom, and you funnel money to all these organizations down here. They'll grow those organizations, and then you come down from the top and say, look here. So I want to make mention of this. Fox News has continually been on this, but I think they missed the main point. And they all talk about it being, I've heard Laura Ingraham talk about this. I've heard Brian Kilmeade talk about it. That it's all a money-making scheme by the Southern Poverty Law Center. That is true. That is no doubt true. But that is not the main point. The main point is to drive legislation in Congress to curtail those on the right. That's the main point. Mm-hmm. To create chaos, yeah, in order that they might create legislation to stop those of us on the bottom by labeling us as white supremacists who are liable to violence at any particular moment. So, for example, the man that went into the Family Research Council offices in Washington, D.C. a number of years ago, he himself was ginned up by the Southern Poverty Law Center. He thought the Family Research Council was a hate group, and he was just so moved by that that he went in there and shot up the building, wanted to shoot up the people in it, and he took Chick-fil-A sandwiches in there, said, I'm going to rub them in their dead faces after I shoot them. Well, wow. Why was he so motivated to do that? Because number one, the left has no God. And so now they continue to create the problems on the bottom with all of these people who are the useful idiots. And they say, well, we got the hate group over here, the Family Research Council. He says, you know what? I'm going to go in there. I'm going to shoot him up. And that's what he does.
That is amazing. As you're speaking, I'm reflecting on when I was growing up. And before there was a so-called Martin Luther King movement thing, civil rights movement, black people and white people were doing their thing. You know, they would treat each other for the most part as they would like to be treated. We were taught that, to love and treat everybody the way you would like to be treated. And things were fine. And then the so-called civil rights movement came along, and then they start to tell black people that the white people are holding you down. They're holding you back. And so they started to organize these blacks, especially the younger blacks, and they told them that the white man is racist. They won't let you into their cafe. They won't do this and that. And the blacks started to believe that, and they turned on the white man and white people. And so 70 years or so have gone by, and the blacks are still not free from that idea that somebody can hold them back. And that the same, it sounds like what you're saying about the SPLC is the same type of socialist communist idea.
That's correct. It is a pro-communist idea. As a matter of fact, there are many crossovers between different communist organizations and the Southern Poverty Law Center. For example, the SPLC featured a glowing, wonderful interview with Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers is a self-proclaimed communist agitator who himself bombed people and killed people in the 1960s. Remember Bill Ayers and his wife, Bernadine Dorn. They now are ensconced in educational organizations, but the Southern Poverty Law Center featured a great interview talking about what a great man was Bill Ayers. Not only so, but people like Chip Burleigh, who was at one time in the Southern Poverty Law Center, he himself worked in the Socialist Party of America, and they had a lot of people cross over. James Rucker, for example, who was himself one of the founding members of Van Jones's group, the Color of Change, Color of Change. Van Jones, remember, Van Jones, a self-proclaimed communist, worked with James Rucker to form the Color of Change. James Rucker was on the board of Southern Poverty Law Center. There's a crossover here, and so they use all of these communists, and that's how they're doing it. That's why they do it. And here's the dangerous thing also. It has become so ensconced and so ingrained in the politics of the Democratic Party that the FBI, under Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden and others, the Democrat Party, they actually used material from the Southern Poverty Law Center. So they were all in bed together.
Amazing.
And as a matter of fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center confessed that they were actually feeding information to the FBI, even though they are an illegitimate pro-communist group. They were feeding information to the FBI. So now that gives you an idea of how deeply ingrained was the SPLC in the politics of America. But that's the point. So it was not simply a money-making scheme, as it really was, but that's not the only thing that it is. It is actually ingrained into the Democratic Party system, and the presidents of Bill Clinton, as I mentioned, and others, Barack Obama, freely used the SPLC. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. I've even seen some preachers that say, well, we got a lot of hate groups in America, and they go to the SPLC website. I think, you know, how ignorant can we be? This is why I say that even preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ need to be informed as to what is communism is basically ingrained in atheism, and they need to be informed about it, because they go to SPLC, a pro-communist website, and use that for information. I think, Where are our preachers? They are so malinformed and misinformed.
What a mess!
It's a mess.
And so the FBI in its partnership with the Anti-Defamation League as well. When I come back from this break, I want you to explain to us what that is. And how is that helping America, too, that they're now not working with them as well? Let me take a quick break. 888-77-JESSE. Bill Lockwood is here, and I'll be back in a moment.
Hey, listen, before I ask my question, I want to thank you so much. The silent prayer, you know, I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces. Like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse. And so I want to thank you so much. And ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Turner. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You're going to know God and His love. It's going to be amazing. Welcome back, 888-77-JESSE. Quick announcement. Number one, Thursday, tomorrow, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, it's the last day of the spring sale on all merch here at Bond, except the coffee and books. We got a 30% off, and tomorrow is the last day of April. And so hurry, hurry, hurry. Go to put the code JLP30 at the checkout, and you'll get your discount, all right? And tomorrow's the last day. You don't want to miss out on all the merch. Go to JesseLeePeterson.shop, JesseLeePeterson.shop, or RebuildingTheMan.stores. RebuildingTheMan.com/store, my bad. RebuildingTheMan.com/stores, all right? Tomorrow, and don't blame me, I warned you, tomorrow's the last day. Brand new episode of The Fallen State. I had an interesting discussion with Adam Kahn, and he is a progressive debater, political commentator, and a male feminist. What the? Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
They let these foreigners in, and they chant death to America.
You get annoyed with people saying death to America, but Trump and his team are actually trying to bring death to America.
That's amazing. So it's not like you don't like Trump.
Trump is what you might call a beta male, right? He's a liar. He's a sore loser. He's a cheater. He's vengeful and spiteful and hateful. Do you like Obamacare, Jesse?
No.
You don't think people should have cheaper health care?
It's expensive because we got these losers that we have to pay for.
We shouldn't pay for the losers. We should just let them die.
Yes. The Fallen State.tv, brand new episode this Friday. And you can support The Fallen State by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or JesseLeePeterson.locals.com. And thank you all in advance. I have with me Bill Lockwood. He is here. And Bill, give the people your website, whatever information you have there, so that they can support you and get involved.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jesse. Well, the podcast I do is Patriotic Pulpit, and the website that I have also, that's actually sermons that I preach, are Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood, and you can find that on YouTube as well. So Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood and Patriotic Pulpit, both of those are different venues that I have.
Okay. Do you want to give out the ko-fi.com/patriotic pulpit?
You know, ko-fi.com/patriotic pulpit. Is that, I think that's what it is.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. I have to think about that for a moment.
I know, me too. I understand, man. I have my employee, they help me remember.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have my employee help me remember too, my wife,
right.
And write it on a card here and say, put it out here for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Bill.
Yes, sir.
The According to this report, the FBI ended its partnership with the Anti-Defamation League. And that is from Axios. They're reporting that. What is the Anti-Defamation League, and did the FBI make the right decision?
I think they did make the right decision. Okay. The Anti-Defamation League is a group that purportedly, just like the Southern Poverty Law Center, targets those who are supposedly hate groups, hate against Jews. And so it's an anti-Semitic, so they're all about the Jewish hate, supposedly, that is rife in America, so the Anti-Defamation League. So they're a far-left group. They're aligned with the same kind of people that the Southern Poverty Law Center aligned with. For example, they targeted the Turning Point, Charlie Kirk. They targeted Charlie Kirk and called him a hate group, a hate monger. Why was that the case? Well, simply because of his conservative values. If you stand for conservative values, the ADL also will target you. And that's of course, the same thing that the SPLC has been doing. So I believe the FBI has done, and the government has done it right, correctly, to sever its ties. How, you might think about, how did all of these far-left groups attach themselves like barnacles on an old ship to the ship of state that we have? Well, it happens because we have not been very diligent regarding what are the far-left groups and what their goal actually is, which is the bringing down of America and making us a socialistic nation. That generally is the goal of the far-left groups. But the ADL is a far-left group itself, and it's just like the SPLC.
And so the ADL is made up of Jewish people?
Well, I don't know if they're all Jewish people, but I don't know the staff of it.
Right.
But they are about the supposed hatred against Jews.
Oh, so they're supposed to be looking out for the Jews.
That's correct.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. My question is, how did it get to the point where white people in all the white countries, white people are made out to be the number one villain or evil people above all races when they want to promote this idea of hatred, you know, people hating one another? How is it that they are able to succeed at presenting white people as the number one evil ones? Like, everybody tends to use that. They don't point out any other color people, for the most part, as racist groups or hate groups or anything, for the most part, exceptions to the rule. How is it that white people were made to be the bad people in their own countries?
Well, for one thing, if we just kind of widen our lens for a moment, the basic communistic strategy is to divide peoples among themselves, divide nations and divide people. There is a natural fissure, that is a natural crack in America as well as other countries that have more than one race of people in them, and that is race. Race is a natural fissure. Consequently, it is easy for them to take a wedge and drive it between the whites and the blacks. So, for example, people like in the Black Panthers of yesteryear, the Huey Newtons of the world, they will tell you that's exactly what they were all about. But the Black Panthers, it was because the white people were the enemy, the white people, and so they were able to drive, and they were all pro-communist. All these, but the Black Panthers, pro-communist, but the communists were able to drive the wedges in between the whites and the blacks. And so that's why whites are considered to be always the bad guy. One reason why, that is, they're all painted on that side of the issue because that's the easiest way to create dissension in a country between the different racial minorities and the racial majority.
Why why do white people not stand up and say, no, we're not going to put up with this. Get out of my country with this type of mess. Why do they tolerate it at all?
Well, I think the reason goes back to how did what is called progressivism, socialism is what progressivism is. How did progressivism, socialism, get its foothold in America, which was, of course, we were warned by it, by not only our founding fathers, not regarding communism per se, but regarding this liberal idea. And why was that the case? Well, it started back in the time particularly of Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, where they were able to take a big government model. And when the government promises, just maybe break it down simply here. If I'm running for office and I have in front of me many possible constituents, and I say, well, I am going to, in office, I'm going to give everybody on this side of the room, I'm going to give you a check for whatever purpose, whatever it be, a disability check or a check for welfare or a check for to help you with your, like, yeah, the clip you showed for the medical care, the clip you showed the guy say, we need to get health care costs down and the government's going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that as a government operative. Well, am I going to take my own money and do that? No, I'm going to take money from people over here and give it to them. But I have automatically gained voters right here. I've gained the entire side of the room.
I understand that. Yeah.
And that's how it has happened, because we have not been diligent enough to stand for freedom and individual freedom. So that's what's happened here in America. And it's happened since the time of the turn of the last century.
That's amazing. And as you're speaking again, I remember when the so-called civil rights movement, Martin Luther King, all those people came along. One of the first things that happened is that they told the black people, the white people against you, so we're going to give you a welfare check. We're going to give you free money, but you can't have a father in the home. And so many black people start to hide the fathers, you know, when the social workers show up to make sure they didn't have one in the home. And they gave black people free money. And that was another way of brainwashing them and drawing them in. Mm. Because now they've done it for so long. I literally know black women who have babies to stay on welfare in order to stay there.
Oh, yeah.
And so now you can't even stop the money, the free money, because if you do, you're going to have a war on your hand. That's how brainwashed it is.
You know what? So, for example, there's a good illustration of that in the Johnson administration. During the Johnson administration, they built gigantic apartment complexes in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
But they were to house the poor blacks. But the requirement was that they could have no man in they could have no husband there.
Yeah.
Well, what do they do? So you get a free apartment. So that is an incentive to get rid of the husband, to get a free apartment or a lessened price apartment,
yeah,
and to live in the slums. That's exactly what happened here. So they would have, there are stories in which the black fathers would sometimes sneak in at night to see their families and see their children. But if they were caught, the entire family would be ejected from the apartment complex.
Yeah.
That was so the government has incentivized the black father to disappear. And it has anybody who's on it has incentivized that to occur.
They did that in Chicago too. They built those big apartments. I remember once Maxine Waters was giving a talk over at the one of the churches here in L.A., and there was a bunch of black people there, and Maxine said to the people, and at that time Newt Gingrich was in office, and she said, the Republican Party wants to tear down the projects.
Yeah.
And they want to tear down the projects. And I'm not going to let them do that. She named Jordan and other projects in this area. I'm not going to let them do that. And not only am I not going to let them tear down the old projects, I'm going to build new projects for you.
Yeah.
And the black people, all in the name of Jesus, was applauding. Yeah. I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? This lady delivered a $3 million, according to the report, $3 million home somewhere in L.A., and she's offering the other black people a project home where the government paid for. And they were okay with that.
Right. So I'm going to say the same thing happens on the Indian reservations.
Yeah.
The Indian reservation is a sad picture of what's going on, what happens when socialism takes over. Everything is socialistic. So they build these nice homes, this government paid for homes, but they bring the, in many of them, they bring the animals in, they slaughter the pigs in the tubs, the bathtubs in the house, they don't want to camp outside. And it's just, but that's the kind of thing that has happened. And so the poverty rate of the Indian reservation has continued to rise. The suicide rate continues to go up. It's one of the highest in the nation.
Yeah.
The same thing regarding single parent homes. All of that because the government giving money incentivizes the opposite of what they claim they're actually doing. This is why our founding fathers said, government, you may not, it is forbidden for you to get into the welfare system. You may not distribute $1 from one pocket to another pocket. You may not do it. And so through the 19th century, our government refused to do it. They even vetoed bills in which people wanted to, for example, the government would come forward and say, well, here is a widow of a famous naval officer. This was like in the 1880s, a famous naval officer. We want to give her money from the public treasury to support her. And it was nixed. It went down in flames because people at that time were acquainted with the Constitution. And they said, no, it is not constitutional. If you want individuals to give voluntarily to this widow, then you do so.
Yeah. Right.
But once it got started about the progressive era where you take government money and start giving it to the other side, then the gates were open and now the floodgates are so wide that we cannot seem to put a stop to it. And so our debt and national debt has just skyrocketed. And most of the budget today is redistribution of money.
Would you consider when the FBI ended its relationship with the Anti-Defamation League or support there, would you consider this an example of Trump putting America first, especially white Americans?
I consider him exactly putting America first. That's exactly what I consider it to be.
Right on.
Just America first, not kowtowing to the leftist organizations. We have to recognize that there's so many leftist, and I mean far left, socialistic style organizations that are designed to create hate, designed to create chaos on the bottom. And those organizations, they need to get rid of. And that's exactly what the Trump administration has been trying to do. Although I do not agree with everything that Trump is doing. I, for example, I'm a war protester. I don't believe that we should be going to war. But I will say that Trump is trying to put America first. And I think that he's done the best he could on those fronts.
Well, I have a question for you from a friend of mine just texted me. He said, and it's a question. The money was funneled to different affiliate organizations to be given over to the KKK and other organizations. So that the Southern Poverty Law Center give money to other organizations, and then that money would give it over to the KKK and other groups. That's how they do it.
Correct, and that's called money laundering. So that's exactly how they've done it. They've funneled the money because they know that it will look very bad if they write a check to the KKK. But that's how they get the money over. Yeah. So this money laundering. That's what they do. Right.
What other the time ago about fast food. I want to ask this: the guy that has been accused of trying to assassinate the president the other day.
Correct.
They said he was half black, half white. He was educated, supposed to be an engineer and all that. What would cause him to, who is to blame for him getting so angry at the president or hated the president so badly that he would be allegedly accused of attempting to kill the president. He was educated. He was smart, according to a report.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he want to kill the president?
So let's just think about the Southern Poverty Law Center as an illustration. This SPLC is headed by a man who was a law professor at the University of Alabama.
Right.
These law professors are actually the ones who are, and he was supposedly a constitutional law professor, but they're the ones who are actually stoking the hatred against America. So the educators today going to colleges, coming out of the colleges, are extremely, extremely liberal. The young educated, they used to be the teachers in the olden days, in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, were all very, very conservative people, oriented themselves as Christians. But today, that is not the case. They're coming out of the universities, and they're so liberal, they're so far left, that they have this Marxist type of worldview. And they don't mind indoctrinating children in their own classrooms. And so that's the kind of teachers that they were putting out. So that's okay. So I'm not surprised. Oh, yeah, he's a teacher. Well, no doubt. He's probably in the classroom indoctrinating his kids, just as we've seen all across America. They indoctrinate children into Marxist worldview.
Is hate speech free speech?
Yes, hate speech is free speech. And so here's the thing about it. Who defines hate speech?
Right.
Who defines what is hate? That's the problem with saying, okay, well, this is a hate crime. This is a crime. Now this is a hate crime. Well, who defines what is hate? It depends upon who's doing the defining, doesn't it? So if the Southern Poverty Law Center is defining hate, they're going to say anybody with a Christian worldview that has a conservative background, that believes in the Constitution, the actual Constitution, conservative values, a Christian worldview, that person is hateful. They're going to say that's hateful. Well, they're the ones defining hate. So it just depends upon who defines hate. That's why our founders would never have gone with the idea of, well, this is a hate crime and this is a non-hate crime. Crime is crime.
Yeah.
And so we can't say, okay, that's a hate crime. Well, he was motivated by an anti-Jewish motivation here to commit that crime. We can't say, well, this man committed a crime against a black man, therefore he killed a black man, therefore, well, that, okay, now that's also hate, so we add penalties to it. That was, I objected to this when George H.W. Bush started to bring this forward, said we need to have hate crimes. It manufactures the entire scenario that you can now create a category of hate separate and apart from the crime itself. And that hate actually supposedly causes the crime. So, but who's defining hate? Who's defining it?
Yeah.
It's just like who defines love? Who defines patriotism?
B, I know you got to go to work and all that. I think.
Oh no, I don't have to. I'll just tell him.
Okay, I have one other.
I'm not coming in today.
I have one other question for you about maybe two about the war in Iran. Can you hold? Right. Let me take a break, and I'll come right back to you about that.
Yeah, be happy to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to take a break. The hate news is coming 2 more hours to go. Back in a moment.
Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now.
Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com/stores, and get Punchy's Coffee.
all kinds of mess going on in this here old world. This is the end of hour one already of the Jason Lee Peterson Show. It is 2 hours of Black Excellence, Wednesday, the 29th of April, AD 2026. And there is one line open, hang tight, callers. JLP will be right back. We'll get to more of Bill Lockwood talking about the Iran war, I think. Just finished talking about the ADL, the SPLC, the FBI. And we'll get to more great stories and your super chats as well. It is hate news, not fake news. Ground News is reporting that King Charles of England says that the UK and the United States partnership is more important than ever in a Congress address, an address to the United States Congress, whatever that means, right? And White House captions a photo of Trump and King Charles as two kings. Hey, nice. Trolling. And King Charles did joke that Americans would be speaking French, if not for the British. Right on. And the U.S. spy agencies are examining how Iran would react were Trump to declare victory. That's according to Reuters. Interesting stuff going on in this world. On Tuesday, King Charles III became the second British monarch to address a joint session of the Congress of the United States, affirming the enduring U.S.-UK alliance during the 250th anniversary celebrations of America. You know, July 4, 1776 is when we declared independence from the crown. Amid strains over the United States' war with Iran, the visit seeks to preserve diplomatic coordination as President Trump's criticism of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization or whatever, has strained the long-standing bilateral relationship. Charles acknowledged times of great uncertainty in his address, referencing the April 25th shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner by that guy, that hater, while urging unyielding resolve in backing the Ukraine. Before the address, the king met privately with President Trump in the Oval Office. Both described this discussion as a, quote, really good meeting, unquote, bolstering ties during the state visit. After congressional engagements, the royal couple will visit New York City's 9/11 memorial before traveling to Virginia for the 250th anniversary celebrations, completing their four-day state visit. Isn't that nice, I guess? On Tuesday, the official White House X account, you know, Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, now it's X, account posted a photo of President Trump and King Charles III with the caption, all caps, two kings, and a crown emoji, drawing immediate backlash. Lord. So anyway, so people running their mouths, George Washington rolling in his grave, said somebody who doesn't really care probably about America. And somebody called it exceptional rage bait. Right on. Nice. King Charles on Tuesday also joked at the state dinner at the White House that Americans would be speaking French if not for the British, countering President Trump's earlier assertion that Europe would otherwise be speaking German. Oh, interesting. Got him, maybe. Anyway, U.S. spy agencies on Tuesday, U.S. intelligence agencies began to analyze, according to Reuters, okay, I think, how Iran might respond if President Donald Trump declared a unilateral victory in the two-month-old war. You know, we're on the 29th of April. This war started, if you want to call it a war, the 28th of February. And Trump might just want to end it and just say, we won. White House faces enormous domestic pressure to end the conflict, with 54% of Americans, so-called, reporting a negative financial impacts, and officials worrying the war could contribute to deep Republican losses in the midterms this year later. Intelligence assessments suggest if Trump declared victory and withdrew forces, Iran would view it as a win. So maybe everybody wins. Anyway, maintaining a heavy troop presence would likely be perceived as a negotiating tactic, per sources. White House spokesman Anna Kelly said the U.S. will not be rushed into making a bad deal. So we'll see what happens. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show with Bill Lockwood in Hour 2.
to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Destiny Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5373-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question is a doozy. For all those who want to overcome evil, know themselves, know thyself, right? It's a reminder to know yourself. Where are you seeking to exert yourself? Where are you seeking to exert yourself? Where? Know thyself. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, we are heard around the world Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. So different time zone for different folks. So you got to run around, but you would love to hear the show as it is happening. You can podcast it, but you can also listen on your phone as it is happening anywhere in the world by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLPTalk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. It's Wednesday. The third hour of the show every Wednesday is Manhood Hour. And the first 2 hours, because we love the Blacks, it is Black Excellence. That was then. This is now. This is Black Excellence. What's wrong with the Blacks?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Nobody can actually know.
There's no love in the Blacks.
Everybody hates us.
No.
Not all, but most.
Right. So that's what's wrong with the Blacks.
That's what's wrong with the Blacks.
I love the Blacks. Amazing. Bill Lockwood is here, folks, and as you can see, one of the smartest white men on the planet. He is the host of Patriotic Pulpit Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood, and he's a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ in Texas, and we're going to tell you how to get to him, all right? I'm holding Bill over because I have just a few more questions for him. Bill, you mentioned the war in Iran.
Right.
According to the reports, and I don't know, because you can't trust the news anymore, presidents like Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, even the president before that, they have always been concerned about Iran and that they're so hateful and evil that they can possibly attack us with a nuclear weapon, nuclear bomb or something like that. And so the President Trump, if the stories are true, President Trump is the only president that really going over there to deal with these people and get this settled, at least, if not forever, at least for a time. Would you call that a war Or would you call it taking care of business to protect the American people?
Well, what is the difference? You know, if this is not war, then what is war? And so I want us to think, let's think about Iran for just a moment. Back in the time when Jimmy Carter came into the presidency, Iran was our friend. They had the Shah of Iran, Mohammad Pahlavi, I think his name was, and he was our friend. We had a lot of exchange students. He wanted to westernize. He wanted to modernize Iran. And so we had a lot of good relationships with Iran. But the left, including the Ted Kennedys of the world, Jimmy Carter now comes to be the president. They were continually haranguing about how bad the human rights were in Iran. So that's how the left continues to, once again, stoke the excitement of the people here. Well, they're not honoring human rights over there because they have a Muslim society and this is how they operate, and they don't allow the women to do such and such. And so, but at that time they were more moderate, and Mohammad Pahlavi, the Shah of Iran, was our friend. Well, what happened? So I would encourage everyone to get this book. It's by Hussein Nahavandi. Nahavandi wrote the book called The Last Shah of Iran. And he was the aide, a minister to Mohammad Pahlavi, the last Shah of Iran. And he tells about how Pahlavi wanted to continue to be our friend, but it was the Washington, D.C. cut his throat, so to speak, because they continued to betray him. Not only so, but there are different reporters, such as Du Berryer, who was reported that at the same time, we had hardliners, such as the Muslim clerics, who were held up or actually protected in the French village. And these, we waited until we actually kicked out, and here's how Nahavandi put it. We kicked out, the American people kicked out Pahlavi like a dead mouse. And Jimmy Carter promised when we helped create problems over there in Iran, and they had all these people now protesting against him. And so then we helped get him out. We promised that he could come to America. Then Jimmy Carter said, no, you can't come to America. He went down to Mexico City. Anyway, we helped install the Ayatollah Khomeini. We actually had CIA agents protecting the Ayatollah Khomeini, who was in a French chateau waiting for the time to go in to take over as a hardliner in Iran. So we helped create Iran as it is today. So that's how Nahavandi, as well as Du Berryer, and as well as others, James Perloff is a columnist also, and he has documented it pretty carefully. So you can read all about this. So that's the background to it. Now we help create an enemy to the United States. I don't doubt that they are our enemy. I don't doubt that they are a nuclear threat. I don't doubt that. But if you go back and notice how we have helped create some of these problems ourselves, yeah, by our foreign interference, now we are, and I believe that we are in an unconstitutional war. I think it's a tar baby for President Trump. We're once again involved in an endless war, seemingly endless, in the Middle East, defending Israel because of NATO and President Trump's, and I think his bravado here said, you know, they can't have a nuclear weapon. We're going to stop it. So now where are we? We're once again involved in a war. The Constitution is clear that Congress is those who declare war. I know that people are going to say, you're agreeing with the Democratic Party. You know what? This is the Constitution. And we have not, we have been involved, listen, Jesse, we have been involved in war continually from the time I was born in 1958 till today. We are technically at war with North Korea. We have a temporary truce in place now. We have not declared war one time since World War II, and yet we have continually been in war. How is that the case? Because we have cast the Constitution aside, and James Madison put it this way. He said, you know, the biggest temptation to presidents is to be involved in war, because they're able to gain more power that way. And so the temptation is there for presidents to commit our troops to war. Well, that's exactly what we've got going here. So I don't believe that it's a constitutional war. I am not denying that it's a threat, that Iran is a threat. But there are also other countries that are threats. How about Sudan? In Sudan, they have massacred thousands and thousands of people. Are we going to go there also?
But Sudan is a black country, and they don't have sense enough to make nuclear wars.
Well, I don't know what sense they have and don't have, but how about
black
China?
People don't know how to make a nuclear weapon.
How about China?
Am I right about that?
Well, I don't know who can make a nuclear bomb and who cannot. It's beyond me, Jesse, so I'm right there with the blacks, because I don't know how to make a nuclear weapon either.
Right.
But so you think about China. China is also a threat to the United States. They have been undermining the United States since the 1940s, and yet we have assisted them, and our Congress has absolutely encouraged them and built up theirs. And the idea is, well, if we help them to modernize, then they'll get out of communism. No, that's not the case. That's not how you defeat communism. Same thing in North Korea. We were warned by this, about this, by General Douglas MacArthur. He said, you cannot defeat communism by simply staying behind the 38th parallel in Korea and hoping for the best and saying, you know, you stay on your side of the line, we stay on our side of the line. That's not how you defeat communism. So that, consequently, we have been at war continually. We fought the longest war in any time in the United States in Vietnam, but it was undeclared, an undeclared war.
Excuse me. So President Trump is the only president I'm aware of that is taking China seriously, and he kind of watching them on the sideline as well.
Yeah, I appreciate Trump for that. I believe he's right about that.
Yeah,
I believe that he's on target with that. But at the same time, we have to recognize that NATO, the North American Treaty Organization, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, that NATO is an adjunct of the United Nations, which is designed for world government. So by the blood and money and treasure of the American people, we're going to war continually. So in Vietnam, as mentioned, that's the longest war we have ever fought. It was an undeclared war. Yeah. So consequently, now the North Vietnamese, the NVA, mistreated our prisoners horribly. They tortured them continually, as everyone knows, and they probably would have done so anyway. But one reason they said, well, because it was an undeclared war, and they said our pilots were air pirates, and so the pilots were badly mistreated. All of our soldiers were mistreated because it was an undeclared war. Now, that was their excuse for it. They would have probably done so anyway, and I'm quick to add that, but the point is, we have been fighting wars continually, undeclared. What does the Constitution mean? When would we invoke the Constitution? Are we going to be involved in protracted wars continually without ever Congress weighing in on it? I don't think that we're doing right here.
So if it's true that Iran has nuclear weapons and they could possibly use them on us and other countries, should the president be there trying to do something about that or not, if it's true?
I don't think so. Does China have nuclear weapons?
I know, but if we don't do something and they hate us because we're the big Satan, should we just wait until they attack us, or should we destroy their possibilities?
Our founding fathers answered all those questions. And they said, why should we go around the world searching for monsters to destroy? There's always, Jesse, a monster over there to destroy. Yeah. If it's not Iran, it's in Vietnam. If it's not Vietnam, it's in Korea. If it's not Korea, it's in China. If it's not in China, it's in the African continent. If it's not there, it's another country. It's in Russia. It's the Soviet Union. There, it's in Ukraine. There's always a monster to destroy. So why should we commit ourselves to destroying all foreign monsters? And why should we pick out just one monster to destroy? Why don't we go to China and take them on? But they have nuclear weapons also, don't they?
So you're saying that we should just wait and see what happens?
That's exactly what I believe we should do.
All right.
I don't believe that we should attack people on the rumor or the correct information that, okay, they've had weapons and they might use them on us, so we're going to attack them.
That makes sense. That made total sense to me.
Who should we not attack? Yeah. They all hate us.
Yeah, that's right. That makes sense, Bill. How should the people who at one time supported the president, now that he is over there doing this thing in Iran, how should they feel about him? Should they still support him or not?
You know what? I'm glad you asked that question. I do support Donald Trump. And I am supportive of him because the other side, of course, is basically Marxist. And that's the Democratic Party. The Democrats are communist Marxist. But also, I would like to add this. And so I'm glad you put it that way. I support our troops. I support every soldier, every airman, I support them 100%. I think they're great heroes, just as I did those who went to Vietnam. But because the policies that put them in place I disagree with, it does not mean that I do not support the armed forces of America. I support the men and women of the armed forces and everything that they're doing, even though I disagree with some of the policies that put them in some of those places. So I do think that's important for us to support the troops. We need to support Donald Trump. But at the same time, I think it's important that people who are constitutionally minded should be able to disagree with the president and say, look, just because Donald Trump says it doesn't mean I agree with it.
Right.
Doesn't mean that I'm going to go along with it. I do not believe that. I don't believe anything Trump says is right.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing. Bill, I want to, and then I got to run here.
Okay.
I want to know, I noticed that, I got to clear up something here. You used the word tar baby for Trump, meaning the fight, the more of a mess he gets in, right?
Yeah.
More of a mess it is.
Yeah.
Just sort of blast don't be saying, he said tar baby.
Okay, you know what?
I grew up it out of fun because it doesn't matter to me at all. But
that doesn't even cross my mind.
I know, yeah.
I grew up on Grimm's Fairy Tales and Br'er Rabbit and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how I consider that. But you know what? That reminds me. I remember one woman who's a Christian woman. She's a black woman. And I said, you know what? I was talking to her, and I said, you know, I said, I appreciate some of the, and I think that you would come over and talk to some of my black friends who are very liberal. And I said, they would appreciate hearing from a black gal. I said the word gal. You should have seen her face. Her face was like, now. And she didn't hear another word. I didn't even realize, I said, she started jumping on me. You're racist. You're racist. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, I call everyone a gal. I said, you know, it's just anyway. So I don't mean anything by.
I know that totally, and I don't care either. I know it meant meaning more of a mess he's making.
A mess. That's right. A mess.
But
what a mess!
What a mess! Hate call women gal too on the hate report.
Okay.
What hate is a mess.
Well, it's gonna have to be called the hate report.
He got that from his grandfather. Call them gals.
I call everybody gal. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just.
It, I think it's more of a Southern thing too.
It is a Southern thing. Yes, she's a sweet gal.
Right.
I say that about white people or black people. She's a sweet gal.
I bet you won't say it about black women now that you said it to the other black woman.
You know what? I thought I get tired of trying to monitor what I what is very innocent language.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because people have a style dictionary that they change every year. Say, okay, hey, by the way, you can't say it that way today. Yesterday you could say it that way. Now you can't say that. Now you have to say African American. You can't say blacks. You can't say Negro. You can't say Negro. Okay. You can't keep up with it.
I know. What a mess.
What a mess.
Bill, I want to ask. I noticed that angry people who has anger or resentment, judgment, they're easily brainwashed and motivated to do evil to themselves and to others. And right. then I've noticed that the men and women who have overcome anger, and they have they have the love of God operating through them, they have a clear mind, they're not easily brainwashed and easily prompt to do evil. What do you think about that?
That is exactly right. So, for example, just made me think about the POWs in Vietnam and Korea. And various books talk about this, that those who survived the torturous conditions of the Hanoi Hilton and different places in Korea that they were tortured, our airmen were tortured. Those who were most successful in surviving were those who had strong religious values. And they had believed God, they believed in the Bible, they had these strong religious values of what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
And therefore, they were not so much inclined to be able to be created to be a hate monger because of their recognition of, and you have to have those clear values in your life and what is right and what is wrong. And you have to have an anchor point somewhere. And if you don't put the anchor point in God, in Jesus Christ, then you are a sitting duck for anybody to manipulate you, and it's manipulation is what it is, to manipulate your anger and cause you to be a hate monger and go out and say, I'm gonna do something good here. I'm going to be involved in some kind of activity. But you don't have an anchor point of what is right and what is wrong. So you are actually liable to all of that misinformation.
That's amazing. And one last thing, I noticed that God said the first commandment, which is the greatest one, is to love him with all your heart, soul, and might, and to love your neighbor and your enemies, right? And that doesn't seem to happen until you overcome anger and resentment. Then you can disagree with people without hating them, without judging them, without being angry. You're able to disagree in the right way and still love them by not hating them.
Anger is a personal problem. It's a sinful problem that we have.
Yeah.
So Solomon says, stronger is the man that is able to conquer his own anger than he who conquers a walled city.
Wow.
Because you have to conquer yourself before you can conquer. And you do that through Jesus Christ. You can conquer yourself and your anger by tamping it down. You're not a steam engine. Then you have to pop a valve and blast off something.
Right.
You have to control it, tamp it down, and control your anger. And that way, through Jesus Christ, you can control yourself. And that way, you are not now going to be able to be manipulated by those who want to manipulate you in order to cause chaos.
Amazing. Deep. That is deep. That's amazing. One other quick thing before we get to this break. If let's say, I don't like doing ifs, but for conversation purposes here.
Sure.
Let's say that Donald Trump was a Democratic president, if he was of the Democratic Party, and he was doing the same thing he's doing right now. Would the Republican Party go after him? Republican voters, Republican media, Republican Party, go after Donald Trump in the way that the Democrats are going after him?
I don't think so. We've seen that, for example, with other Democrat leaders such as Barack Obama. The Republicans always play, and I'd say sometimes they play too nice. They just, okay, well, he's the president, and I, not to disagree with this, but he's the president. Barack Obama was the president. I'm going to honor him as the president. And so they would be honoring of that, even though they recognize that his worldview is rooted in Marxism. They would necessarily point that out, but they would not just continue to harangue and stir up and hatred against him and try to create this chaos in order to start something against Barack Obama, or it would be Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, or anyone else. That's not how the Republicans normally play. And the reason is because most people in the Republican Party are Christian in their worldview, and they have a worldview. And so they have the exact same thing we've talked about a moment ago, a Christian worldview, that God and Jesus Christ, and they recognize that even though the Barack Obamas might be our enemy, politically speaking, he is not a personal enemy in the sense that we need somehow to destroy him.
Why do, last question, Bill, and this I promise.
Why do
Republican conservatives, Christians, or whatever, why do they turn on each other the moment they disagree about an issue? They turn on you in the same way that a Democrat would turn on you, or some. Why do Christian, conservative, Republican turn on each other so easily?
Because Republicans, generally speaking, operate on principles, and those principles are the foundation of our core beliefs, whether it be religion or politics. We have principles, and when those principles are violated by a particular measure in Congress, or a particular person who speaks out this way on, and it violates the principles, we will call that out because our principles are at stake. Democrats have no principles except to destroy and destruct America.
But what I'm saying is they do it to each other.
Correct. And this is okay because
the Christian would, they tend to love each other as long as they agree on the same thing. But the moment they disagree, they'll turn on each other just like that.
Okay. Just like I did with Donald Trump a moment ago.
Yeah.
I disagree with the war in Iran. I believe it's unconstitutional. It's not declared war by Congress. Okay. That's because I have certain principles that I want to stand by. So I'm going to turn on him on that particular point. Now, is that the same thing as Democrat turning on him?
I don't think so. Republicans don't have that kind of love for people, though. They don't. The conservative, but the conservative Christians, and not all, of course, but the conservative Christians, whether they're in the pulpit or they're politics or media, they tend to turn on each other if you disagree with them about anything.
Well, I still think it's because of the principles that we want to stand by. That's what I believe. And I don't know when you say turn on each other, what exactly you mean by that. But if you mean simply disagree, then I think that's, of course, perfectly legitimate.
Right, absolutely. But they don't maintain the love when they disagree.
Well, then that's their bad too. We should.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say we should all maintain
a
Christian worldview in which we can disagree without being, of course, as everybody says, being disagreeable. That is, disagree with someone and even be diligent and adamant on our points, but not being so hateful to one another.
I rest my case. Absolutely. Right. Your websites, real fast.
Okay, so it's the Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. That's on YouTube. And then Patriotic Pulpit, and that is also on YouTube. So it is KO-FI/Patriotic Pulpit.
Amazing.
I believe it's .com, .com, by the way. Yeah.
It's .com?
Let's see. Is that right?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
What is it?
Yes, it is.
James Hake knows it.
You got it. KO-FI.com/patriotic pulpit.
Okay. .com. Yeah.
.com.
Yeah. .com/patriotic pulpit.
I could go on and on and on with you for the next 3 hours, but.
Yeah, I would love to do that, but next time, maybe.
All right. Amazing.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill, and have a good day.
Okay, Lord bless you, Jesse, and your work. I hope everything goes well today.
Right on. Thank you. I gotta take a break. 8:80. I'm straight back to your calls right after this break. we have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Announcement. Don't forget to like the videos. I do cameos, shout outs for you. Birthday shout outs, wedding shout out, anniversary shout out, encouragement shout out, whatever your shout out is, I will do them for you. Go to Cameo, CAMEO.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. CAMEO.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. And the Hate Report is coming up. You heard James Hate. Bill mentioned James Hate. Help, help, James. James Hate, the Hate Report, from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. He's white, and he's on fire. The guy with the good hair and energy and smarts given to him by God. The American anchor baby. Right out there, thehakereport.com. And I really want you to notice today when you watch the American Anchor Baby, pay attention. He has a brand new. Now, hey, and the Anchor Baby wonder, what am I about to say? You have a brand new what, Anchor Baby?
A brand new song and dance. No, I don't know. A brand new bag. I think you're talking about my haircut.
He has a brand new haircut.
Hey, haircut.
A rock and roll haircut.
You ever call someone haircut?
No. Have I called them that?
Yeah, like, hey, haircut.
Oh, no. Brand new haircut. Check it out today. At 11 a.m. Pacific time, from 11 to 1 Pacific time. All right? It's amazing. And you're going to get energy, you're going to learn so much, it's just going to be all inspiring. You think Donald Trump is all inspiring? And he is. Well, another generation is coming up behind him. The American Anchor Baby from 11 to 1. Let me go to Greg out of Florida. Greg, you are on the air.
Hello, Jesse. How you doing this morning, sir?
All is well, Greg.
I was just going to tell you, I own a pool company. I think I told you that before.
Yes.
And I work on myself every day. And I had this customer. He always treated me kind of nice, you know. He seemed nice, but I said, well, he promised me about a year or so ago he was going to come over and put something on my house for me. And it never happened, but I didn't say nothing about it. I just figured, well, he's busy or something, or he forgot. He owns a business, too, and I said, oh, no big deal. Well, he called me about a week ago and wanted to know if I could service his son's pool. And I said, yeah, I think I can get to it, you know. And he said, okay, I appreciate it. Well, between the next time I saw him and that time, I picked up like 10 customers. God's been good to me. People just walking up and hiring me. And when I seen him yesterday, I had told him, you know, he said, hey, you still going to be able to come up and service my son's pool? And I said, I'm going to try to work him in, man. I'm so busy right now. And I said, but I'm going to try. I mean, immediately, just like that, he treated me like he didn't even know me. Like, I'd slapped him in the face. And I said, Jesse's right. You think you know somebody, and as soon as you don't do something they want you to do, it's over. So I just thought that was a neat experience to, you know, because some things when you say it, I'm like, it seems true. Let me see if it happens. I'm like, yeah, he was right again.
And so this guy was a friend of yours, you say?
Well, I've known him since he's been my customer. He's been my customer for probably over 2 years. And, you know, he's always, I mean, we didn't ever hang out or anything before, but, you know, he's always come out and spoke
customer.
To me.
Okay, I got you.
Yes, sir.
And then you had, he had asked, could you go over and clean his son's pool? And you said yes?
I told him that I should be able to do that. And he said, okay. And I asked him where he lived, and he told me. And then in between those two periods, when I saw him next time, I picked up, I don't know, 10 or 11 customers in a week.
And then when you picked up the 11 customers, in the meantime, you ran into him again. And he asked us, could you still come over and clean my son's pool, right?
Yes, sir.
And why do you say yes? Because you're giving him your word you would. He is a customer, too. Why do you say yes?
I did say yes, but I said I'm going to... In a way, I didn't.
And so did you say yes or did you not say yes?
No. I told him I was going to try to work him in, which I didn't tell him no, but I didn't tell him for sure yes either. So I can't say I told him yes. I can't say I told him no.
And so then why do you, is your company, he is a potential customer, and the father is already a customer. Why do you just say yes? Because it's still a customer. Why do you keep your word with that customer?
Because I never told him for certain that I was going to do it. I told him I was going to try to work him in, and he said, okay. And then when I told him the same thing, he said the same thing, but he got mad this time.
But this is because it sounds like you're not putting him first as a customer because you got new customers. Now you're putting his son as a possibility. A customer is a customer.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think about what you said because I didn't quite understand it.
Okay, so and I'm black and slow, so I could be missing the point. So you got this one customer, and you've been cleaning his pool, right?
Correct.
And one day, this one customer said, hey, can you go over and clean my son's pool for me? Right?
Yes, he texted me and asked that. Yes, sir.
Well, he texted you. Can you go over and clean my son's pool? Is that right?
Correct.
And you said yes. Is that right?
I told him I should be able to work him in. Yes, sir. I didn't just come out and say yes, but I told him I should be able to work him in.
Right.
Because I'd ask him where the address was.
And you said, so that meant, yes, you can pretty much get it done. Am I right?
I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at that word, I reckon.
I want you to go and clean my son's pool, and you said, yes, I can work that in, that's a yes. Is that true or not?
Say that part again, because I didn't understand what you said.
If I ask you to go clean my son's pool,
okay,
and you say yes, I can see if I can. Did you say I can see if I can work it in?
I said yeah, I should be able to do it.
Okay, so now I'm expecting you to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all interpretation, how you say it. I guess some people would, some people wouldn't. I don't know. I've had it work both ways since I've owned the business.
When you said, yes, I should be able to do it, is that a yes or that's a no?
That's a maybe.
A maybe?
Correct.
Oh, okay. In your mind, you saw it as a maybe.
Yes, because if I was certain that I could do it, I would have just said yes.
And then you saw him again, and he asked you about it. Hey, are you still going to clean my son's pool, right?
Yeah, he said, was I going to be able to clean his son's pool?
And then you said, well, what'd you say at that point?
I said, I don't know. I'm going to try to work him in. I got so many new customers in the past week. I'm going to try to work him in.
But why did you say, I'm going to try to work him in, instead of saying, yes, I'm going to do it, or no, I'm not, I can't do it?
Because I didn't know if I could.
Oh. And so now the man, he doesn't want your, you know, he doesn't want you to talk to him or your pool service anymore?
No, he didn't say that,
How did he turn on you then?
So the point I was trying to make is, in the beginning of the conversation, he owns a business as well. And he told me over a year ago he was going to do something for me, but I never saw him again. But I've talked to him since then, and he's never mentioned it, and I never mentioned it again because I'd already forgot about it.
I know, but what does that have to do with your business and cleaning his son's pool? I'm just trying to understand it. Hey, you understand it?
Yeah.
What do you understand about it?
It sounds like the former customer of his had made an offer and then just forgot about the offer to do something for him.
No, and, I'm talking about Greg.
But he started off mentioning that story, and then Greg made an offer to him when he asked for a favor, and then Greg went back on the favor, not able to do it necessarily.
You confuse me more.
It sounds like they both offered each other favors and they both went back on it.
Greg, tell me, repeat everything you said when you first came on the air. Hey, Greg?
He's on mute.
Greg, get off mute.
Oh, did it freeze?
Hear me?
Okay, there it goes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, repeat everything you said when you first came on the air.
So when I first came on there, I said I have a customer that a friend of mine had gave me years ago, and I've been doing this pool for over 2-some years now.
Okay.
And he also owns a business. He does woodwork. And when I first hired him, I asked him how much he would charge me to put some wood ceiling up in my house. And he said, oh, no problem. I'll just do it. I got some stuff left over from a spare job. And I was like, okay, no problem. And I said, I don't mind paying you, though. And I was going to give him some money. And he told me, he kept calling me every week, every 2 weeks, telling me, yeah, I'm going to come by. And then I'd never see him and never hear from him.
Is this what you said when you first came on here?
Not verbatim. I'm trying to explain it more because you didn't understand it. But if you want me to say verbatim what I said, I can.
Tell me what you said when you first came on about how this guy turned on you and you learned a lesson from that. That's not what, because you didn't talk about what he had done for you at the very beginning.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't mention it all the way.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, the whole point I was trying to make is I wrote it off in my mind and I was okay with it. Matter of fact, we had seen each other 20 times since then. We've cut up and laughed, but as soon as I told him I may not be able to do something because other stuff came up, then he turned on me and he just didn't want to really talk to me anymore.
Oh.
So I was saying, it's funny when the shoes are reversed.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't take it personally. I didn't. I still didn't. I told him when I left, I'm like, I didn't even mention what had happened between us because I was okay with that. You know, I know he's got a business too, and I know we're busy out here. But as soon as I didn't, something could have come up to where I couldn't get to him. He immediately turned his back, wouldn't talk to me. Kind of got arrogant and acting with me. And I just was like, okay, man, I'll see you later. And I was saying that when you told me before, people are only friends with you for what you could do for them. As soon as you won't agree or do something for somebody, most people will turn their back on you. And that's what I was mentioning. I had saw that.
Absolutely. Point
Sorry,
taken.
I didn't
now.
Explain
it's
it right.
Now.
I'm white and stupid.
No, it's totally clear.
I barely made it through school too.
Right on. And so how are you feeling about him now? Will you still clean his pool?
Absolutely, unless he fires me. But yeah, I didn't.
Right on.
I never felt angry over it. And I was to the point I was excited about. I didn't feel angry because used to I would feel like, oh, the heck with that guy, and I would be childish and act like a woman about it. But I never felt that, and it was amazing to not even have that feeling. So whenever he was getting mouthy and attitude-y with me, I didn't feel anxious. I didn't feel afraid of it. I didn't feel scared. I didn't feel worried. I just felt like, wow, this is strange. And then I was like, well, if that's the way he wants that, oh, well. And I told him, man, I said, man, I'll see you next week. Sorry about that.
Right on, man. And
so that's the only thing I was saying. Sorry I didn't explain it right.
No, that's totally clear. I love the fact you did it the right way in that you did not get angry at him because he acted that way. Forgive him. He knows not what he's doing. He's asleep.
Well, and I felt that spirit in me, Satan, and I could hear him telling me, you know, oh, who does he think he is? He's going to treat you like that? What about what he did to you? And I would fire him. He's just telling me all kind of stuff. And I was like, and when I ignored it and didn't identify with that, thinking, yeah, he did this to me, when I realized there was no me to do it to, and that Satan was trying to get me to identify with the anger he felt from it, then I was like, no, I'm going to go down that path, and I'm not doing that.
Perfect, man.
So it is, since I've been doing this, you can feel that spirit inside of me trying. I mean, all day long, he is so working on me, trying to get me to overreact and overreact. And you, this person did this, and what about this? And this person didn't call you. And it almost gets overwhelming, you know, riding down the road. But I know that you say sometimes, I've heard you say, the more hell you feel, the closer to heaven you're getting. So I just keep doing it.
Yes. The greater the hell, the closer to heaven. That is absolutely true. And what's going to happen, Greg, if you stay with this, working on yourself, just being aware of that thought, it's just a thought, eventually all those thoughts will be taken away from you and you will never have them again. And you'll be a whole person and you will never be divided again because you will not ever give in to those thoughts again. Even if they would try to get into you, tempt you, you will be able to resist them because the power of God will be working through you and the devil cannot enter into you again. You will never have those thoughts again.
And this last thing I'll tell you, Jesse, is I got some, I say it's terrible news when I think about it. I look at it like it was just a trial. A lot of my bills went up in my new house I bought and all because of escrow and reassessing the taxes, and something went sky high. And immediately when that happened, when I read it, I felt fear.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, there's no way. Well, I say I felt fear. I felt the fear in me.
Right.
And I said, there's no way that God's going to bring me a house for every one of my children. I've got a 4-bedroom, exactly what I needed. He gave it to me. There's no way he's going to bring me to the finish line and drop me on my face. So I just got to calm down and know that he's going to provide and give me what I need. And that's the same week 10 more customers came up, and $100 a customer for a month takes up that money that I was going to need for that.
See there? Absolutely.
And just like that, it was like, so I realized it was the weak nature inside of me going, you know, this ain't easy, but I know the strong nature, which is God, was saying, well, just stay with what you're doing and I'll give you what you need to take care of this. And I was raised by a woman that took control of the house, and I realized when you break away from that, you don't have that mama feeling of, oh, my God, I need somebody to feel good for me. You realize the father's love is get up and do it. Quit complaining about it and just do it.
There you go. And also, now that you're catching those thoughts even more so, eventually you're going to catch the very first thought, and you're going to realize all of your life is just been a thought. It was never real, but when you're traumatized as children and you lose your identity by becoming angry, and that's when you wake up to thought, you start thinking that those thoughts and those feelings are you, are yours, and that's who you are. But now that you're working on it, Greg, eventually you're going to see it was all just a thought. It was never real. It was an illusion. And eventually, no more thinking. And it's going to be amazing.
And I do understand that, because I realized that when I got upset and judged my parents, yeah, I needed to get away from feeling that, and I escaped in my imagination to create this false world to feel better, but it just leads you down this hellacious path.
Perfectly said. Absolutely. And that's what every person on the planet, that's why God said that all who are born of the woman must be born of the Spirit of the Father, must be born of the Father. And that's exactly
Somebody asked me the other day, and I was wondering what you thought, and I think it's true. Is it possible to love somebody but not respect or trust them?
No. When you don't have any, when you have only love, which is the nature of God in you, you love them by not hating them, by not being angry. And so, so you're neither disrespecting them or respecting them. You don't think that way anymore.
Got it. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you.
People who think about respect and disrespect are living in the darkness, and they're always divided by some type of ideas. But once you have perfect love, all those ideas disappear.
It makes perfect sense, Jesse. It really does. I appreciate you informing me of that, and I'll keep my eyes on it, okay?
You stay with it, Gray. Stay with it. Stay with it. And if you run into that customer again, you go back to do his yard, his pool. If he acting weird, just watch him acting weird. Don't take it personally, because it's not happening to you. It's happening to him.
That's right. Yeah, I realize the hell's in him, and he don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
I get it. I do get it.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir, I do get it.
Amazing.
Good talking with you, Jesse. I appreciate you taking time to take my call today, buddy.
Yes, sir. Call me again, and good to hear from you, Greg.
I will. Yeah, glad you got your phone fixed. I called Monday, and it kept hanging up, and I was like, oh, man, Jesse didn't pay the phone bill.
I know. You know how black people are. We don't pay the bills. That's for sure.
I said the same thing. I said, Jesse's going to tell me, you know we can't pay nothing on time.
You black.
That's right. Love you, buddy.
Have
a great
day,
man.
Thank you, too. Love you, great. All right.
Thanks for the help, Hank.
You're welcome. What?
You're welcome.
I said, thanks for the help, for him helping me, because I was explaining it so dumb. He's way smarter than me, Hank is.
he white. Amazing.
He is. I try to learn from him, too.
That's right. Absolutely. Thank you, Greg.
God bless y'all.
You too, buddy. Super, super.
Super chat.
Super chat. Super chat.
Cesar Caesar, Jesse, yesterday you asked
if
people are angrier these days. I say yes, since women are bold and getting in men's faces. Men are body slamming women, and the president is getting shot at every other week. What the?
Amazing point. Amazing. Thank you.
Kevin S. on Cash App, tithe on tip.
Right on. Thank you, Kevin S. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Someone says, good morning, Jesse. You need to practice saying the word Amish. Stop being so black and slow.
Amish. I counsel with Amish people now, and it's interesting. Amazing. Did I say it right this time?
Yep.
Amish.
You did.
Thank you. I appreciate the correction.
Very nice. Quentin R., no message.
Thank you, Quentin.
Quentin R. with a second.
Thank you, Quentin R.
How to overcome temptation when it feels impossible?
By just watching the thoughts. That's all you need to do. Nothing else is required. I got to take a quick break.
We'll read the rest later, y'all.
One more hour to go, and I come back straight to your calls. Back in a moment. Hate news is coming now, not the fake news, and I'll be back in a moment.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that, because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this, and young men need to know this message that you're delivering, because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.
There's some serious mess going on in this here old world, but some cleaning up of the mess by our greatest President Trump. SpaceX is tying Elon Musk's compensation to Mars colonization goal. So if they colonize Mars, then they'll pay Elon. If they don't colonize Mars, Elon gets no pay from SpaceX. Nice. That's how I'm interpreting that headline, actually. I don't know if that's actually what it is. But anyway, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, is going to review Disney's broadcast license, or at least it was as of yesterday with a headline there, after the Jimmy Kimmel's so-called, I call it, joke about Melania Trump being a so-called, like, expectant widow or something like that. Joking about the death of our greatest President Trump, that's not a joke. And speaking of jokes and threats and wishing ill, ex-FBI Director Jim Comey, we'll call him Jim instead of James Comey, indicted for his 86 meaning ban or kick him out of the bar, President number 47 seashell post on Instagram about a year ago. They're calling it a threat. I don't know if they're going to be able to get that indictment to stick, but they wouldn't have indicted him if they didn't think that they could get it a conviction, would they? Anyway, maybe I'm not, I don't have the whole story, but Trump is on Comey's mind even on vacation. If he was on vacation at the beach, maybe he wasn't. Anyway, months after a Operation Metro Surge, federal agents are returning to Minneapolis to target daycares for suspected fraud. Very nice. This is ground news headlines for you guys. Mexican man pleaded guilty to impersonating a Mexican man living in America, impersonating Border Patrol agents. He was impersonating a Border Patrol agent, and he pleaded guilty to impersonation to disrupt deportation missions. Wow. Shameful. Trump is backing the idea of changing ICE's name to NICE, N-I-C-E, National Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Pretty cool. And Trump is opening up Minnesota's wilderness to mining. Very cool. This is the end of hour two already of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Wednesday, the 29th of April, AD 2026. It has been 2 hours of black excellence, even though we haven't heard necessarily from one black person. But shout out to the blacks. Don't worry, blacks. Manhood Hour is coming up in the third and final hour of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. And ladies, you are welcome to call in. There is one line open even during Manhood Hour. Some argue that women are only the only ones allowed to call in during Manhood Hour, but that's not the case. Men and women and boys and girls all allowed to call in to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show even during Manhood Hour. All right, we'll get to more of your super chats, calls, and more great stories is the plan, man. But it is hate news, not fake news. Tuesday, the Federal Communications Commission, according to Ground News, ordered Disney to file early renewal applications for its 8 ABC-owned broadcast stations within 30 days for forcing an accelerated review of licenses not scheduled for renewal until 2028. FCC's citing ongoing probe into Disney's DEI mess practices, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Critics argue the timing reflects President Trump's demand Monday that ABC fire Jimmy Kimmel over an quote-unquote expectant widow joke. I still haven't heard the joke, so I don't know what the thing was. Democrat FCC Commissioner Ana Gomez called the order unprecedented, unlawful, and going nowhere, stating it is a political stunt. Legal experts note the FCC has not revoked a broadcast license in more than 40 years. 4-0. Disney faces protracted legal battles, likely, as analysts suggest the company will cite the First Amendment protections against content-based regulatory retaliation, imposing substantial defense costs while creating precedent for government authority over broadcast media. The conflict signals an intensifying pressure campaign by the administration against major media outlets. We'll see what happens. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. Manhood Hour, Hour 3. Thank you.
have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We are also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, where are you seeking to exert yourself? Where are you seeking to exert yourself? Know thyself. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're running around, you can podcast the show, but you still can listen on your phone. It's been made possible. He made it possible. By calling a listen line, you can listen live, move it about. By calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go buy me a coffee.com/JLP talk. Buy me a coffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP catch up. Bond JLP catch up. It's Wednesday, third hour of the show today. We are pointing people back to the Father and walking in the order of God and Christ, Christ and man, man over woman, and woman over children. That's the order. Nothing else is going to work but that. So this hour, and we take all call, but it is manhood hour. What is a man? What is a man? Man.
It's an adult man. Human male.
Manhood. Hillary or President Trump?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Beta. Beta male. A man is a male who turned to man. Alpha male. Live right, be right, and lead the way.
Great sense of loss tonight in the East Village after a gunman shot and killed a beloved deli worker last night outside the business his family owned.
The city just didn't feel safe anymore.
Dulcella himself spoke with Eyewitness News a year ago, saying he worried about violence against bodega workers he'd seen on social media. Tonight, the organization is wondering if the person who shot Dulcella was someone who shouldn't have been on the street.
How does this happen?
After 35 years with the Cincinnati Police Department, the last three as chief,
there's your problem right there.
Well, you don't see that on the video.
I have that video.
How does that equal him picking her up, dropping her on her neck, and then stomping on her head?
Let me be clear.
It seems like you're justifying it.
Amazing. A spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. A warfare between good and evil. And you don't know the depths of the hold that evil has on your thoughts. You don't understand that until you start to overcome it. You don't understand that you are completely controlled by evil. That's why you don't have love. You're like judgmental, resentful, nasty, vicious. You don't love your enemy, you hate, because you are being controlled by the spirit of evil, and you call it good. You got to love one another. And love, you can know that you love when you don't have any anger / resentment at all. And that is possible. But you got to overcome. You got to forgive, return to the Father, and let all anger go. Anger, anyone that has anger is of their father, the devil, and there's no love in them. They represent evil. They are one with evil. But they wouldn't call themselves that. They don't see it. And the reason they wouldn't admit to themselves that they are evil is because the devil doesn't know he is the devil. The devil doesn't even know he's evil. And that's why human beings with anger / resentment, they don't know that they're the devil. And they call anger good. It's justified, they say. I got to protect myself. If I didn't have anger, if I didn't have emotions, how would I protect myself? You and evil are one. Satan has control over your mind, men and women, until you start to overcome, and you can overcome it, if you want to. Most people don't want to. That's why they don't. Most human beings love the thrill of being afraid, to being jealous and envious and trying to hurt others. They love the thrill of it. They don't want to let it go, and that's why you can't help people. You can't help anyone. You can't even help yourself. Humility is saying to yourself or realizing out loud, I can't change anything. Of myself, I know nothing. Of myself, I can do nothing. So I give up. And you shall be free. Jesse. Let me go to the busy phone. Jarrett is out of Wyoming. Jarrett, you are on the air. Hey, Jarrett. Garrett. No, Garrett.
Hey, sir, can you hear me?
I can now. Come straight. Are you on a Bluetooth or something?
No, sir.
Okay. Go ahead. I can hear you now.
Awesome. Well, I called in a few weeks ago to talk to you about the blacks, and I told you that they had the smaller cranium. I don't know. I know, never asked a black man if you remember.
That's for sure, especially since the cranium is so small. I can't remember all that.
That's right. The one thing I didn't get to mention to you, but they actually, after the civil rights movement, you know how they're always lowering the standards all over the place, you know, for pilots and everything. They actually had to drop the IQ threshold for what was considered mental retardation, because too many of the blacks would have qualified. They dropped it from like 85 to 75 or something, so that you know, the majority of the blacks wouldn't be considered retarded.
So you can measure they think that they can measure how mentally ill the person is.
IQ is essentially the intelligence quotient. It's essentially, you know, how intelligent a person is, like their problem solving skills, kind of their ability to communicate.
But IQ is an illusion.
Could be.
Because there's no such thing as one human being being smarter than another human being. The idea of I think we talked about that once on the show, is that IQ is an illusion. It's not even real. And what it does, when you tell one person you're smarter than the next person, it builds that person's ego to think that they are. And then the one person you're telling that he or she is not smarter than you, it makes them feel less than, so they start to believe that they're not smart. They do that in school, too. They make the so-called A kid feel smart, and they make the B kids feel not as smart. And if you're not, your parents are not telling you that's not true, it tends to affect you.
Yeah, I think that's true to a certain extent, but
what do you mean, a certain extent?
I'm sorry?
When you say to a certain extent, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very real thing. I mean, there are people that are more intelligent. And again, I understand what you're saying as far as overall intelligence. It may not be real, but in terms of, you know, problem solving, let's say with engineering, right? You know how white people invent everything, right?
But they're not people who are more intelligent than others.
So why are white people the only ones that invent things and black people and other races don't really invent anything?
Because the prior to the civil rights movement, it's a good question too, Jared. Prior to the civil rights movement, black people were inventing and doing amazing things. But once they gave up the parents, especially the father, and then they started to rely on the government, and then they started to tell them that they were victims and blah, 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 they just gave up. They stopped thinking for themselves. They stopped doing. You can think of people like Booker T. Washington and George Carver and other people. That was prior to the takeover of the civil rights movement. They just stopped thinking for themselves, Jared. It's not that they don't have the... If they return to individuality, they start to drop the anger and they start thinking for themselves, you will see some amazing things, but most blacks are never going to do that.
No. When I called in last time, I agree with you. I think the civil rights movement played a huge role in that. But even before the civil rights movement, black people weren't inventing anything. Like the people you just mentioned, Booker T. Washington and everything, they were just more like philosophers, right? They didn't.
No.
I'm talking about
George Washington Carver invented the peanut butter thing and other things as well, and so did Booker T. Washington. He founded Tuskegee Institute, and he was able to really, as a matter of fact, the black army people. I forgot what they were called, Tuskegee Airmen. They came from the, they came out of the Tuskegee Institute. So black, I got to run because of time, but black people did very well until they stopped thinking for themselves. Thank you, Jerry. I do appreciate it because of time. Let me go to Houston and talk to John out of Texas. John, you are on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jesse.
Yes, sir.
So the company that I'm working at, I've been working there for 1 month.
Uh-huh.
And they're training me in a trade. Okay. The company's having some shakeups. Like, I'm not going to get into it, but it's kind of rough.
You're not on Bluetooth, is he? Are you, John?
Yeah, let me. Why don't you come back to me in a little bit?
Hold on, John. You sound like you're in an empty room and there's a lot of static going on for you. Hold on. Oh, you want me to come back to you? Hold on then. I'll come back to you. Let me go to Brady out of Arizona. Brady, you are on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Jesse. I wanted to bring up a thing that a lot of black people don't want to talk about. And the reason that they're in the positions that they're in today in the workforce was affirmative action, which was reverse racism against the white man again. And just take, for Minnesota example, I remember when I was there in the 90s, nobody got a job for 10 years in the business environment because of the Great Replacement. So you have people today that were low educated, that are still in power today, and you wonder why this country's failing. You talked about Section 8, the father out of the household for the black people and the white people. Well, what do you think's going to happen? You got uneducated people running this country. You got welfare running rampant, and a government that does not know what they do and supports Israel, which is not our number one ally. It's God's worst enemy.
What's God's worst enemy?
The Israeli regime of today under Bibi Milikovsky.
Do you love them?
No.
Then you're God's worst enemy. The man or the woman without love is God's worst enemy because that would make you a son of Satan.
I understand that, but I don't support anybody.
Why don't you overcome your hate for them?
Because they're trying to destroy Christianity.
Hold on. Why don't you overcome anger, resentment, so you can show what real Christianity is about? Because no one can destroy real Christianity. That's ridiculous and impossible. Do you see that you're the enemy of God by hating your fellow man?
I'm trying to protect God and Christianity from the evil ones and the Antichrist.
That doesn't even make sense, Brady. How are you going to protect God from the evil one when you're of the evil one by not having love?
I'm stopping in the enemy of Christianity, which are the Jews.
How are you doing that? How are you doing that and you have only hatred in your heart?
Because I'm pointing it out to the world today on your radio show.
Yo, no, Brady, it doesn't work that way. You need love, not hate.
I'm working on it, Jesse, but when you got somebody
trying to destroy
Christianity.
But you can't be working on it. You can't blame anyone. You can't blame anyone for your hatred. It's in you. It's not in. They have nothing to do with the way you feel at all.
Why do you think the Jews were killed?
I gotta go, Brady. 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Noah out of Michigan. Noah, you are on the air.
Hey, good morning, Jesse. How's your day going?
All is well, Noah.
Fantastic. You probably heard of King Charles visiting America, right?
Yes.
Yes. Did you see all the Democrats in Congress clap for him when he went into the congressional, when he went into the Congress?
I did see that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So why are they clapping for him and then going on the streets and protesting no king? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, when you're angry, nothing makes sense to an angry person. They don't
really
see that. You're right. It doesn't make sense. They're supposed to hate the king by saying that they hate Trump. But when another person comes to the country who says that he's a king, they stand up and applaud and worship the king. That's insane.
Yeah, I just figured that out this morning, and that's why I had to change up my question. So honestly, it's just pure hypocrisy and pure insanity in this world, Jesse, and pure hatred too towards conservatives.
This is hell on earth.
I'll take your word for it. And can I answer the biblical question?
Where are you seeking to exert yourself?
Where am I seeking to assert myself?
Exert. E-S-E-R-T.
Insert?
Where are you seeking to E-S-E-R-T yourself?
Okay, where am I looking to assert myself?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking to make a comfortable living by my job, and I'm currently looking to, make everything out of myself. I'm 26 years old and I got to start building up my wealth, my net worth and all that.
What do you mean by making everything making something out of yourself? What do you mean by that?
Well, currently I live in an apartment and I kind of want to improve myself, maybe like get a house.
And how would improve you?
I just want to get up and
I'll respond to the biblical question on Sunday, but in your response to how you seeking to assert yourself, how will getting a house improve you?
Well, not just a house. I just wanna be a successful person, Jesse. You know what I mean?
I've been working hard for it. Yeah. And how would that improve you though? How would that improve yourself?
By going the next step.
Oh, okay. Amazing.
And the next step is to have a family. I mean, I know that you're against, marriage and all that, but
I'm not against marriage at all. Why you say that?
Oh, I thought you said getting married was a bad idea.
No, I never said that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a negative view on marriage, especially.
All lies all the time.
Okay. I only said that because you said I can't even paraphrase it. But yeah, Jesse. Thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughts and opinions. I'm gonna keep working on myself. Yeah. I'm gonna try to make something of myself.
Have you forgiven your mother?
We've talked about this before. We've talked about this before. I've told you I've forgiven my mother for getting married three different times.
Right on. Okay. Well, you stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. And I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Concerning the biblical question. Amazing, Noah.
Amazing. You have a good day, sir.
You too, buddy. Amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me see if John is ready right now to test us. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, John, let's try it again. Go ahead.
Thanks for coming back to me, Mr. Jesse Peterson.
Yeah, that's much clearer. Go ahead.
Okay. So I've been working for a month, learning a new trade at this company. And the company is now going through some major shakeup that I'm not going to get into.
Right.
It's not totally, but I want to stay on the company for at least 3 months. And there's going to be less work coming in. And I think maybe coworkers are going to go off, which is fine because I don't need the coworker there. And the coworker, and I'm starting to flare up with my anger, though. Passive-aggressively, I've been kind of thinking. Not really thinking, but I just kind of have said, he's on his phone all day. I don't know, but I've kind of been almost wanting to just quit right now. Just quit. But look, I haven't yet. But I've been sort of, getting passive aggressive in my, I'm not sure what's going on. It's all hidden from me.
And your question for me is what?
So I did pledge sort of that I was going to not abandon ship. And I was wondering if there's fewer jobs coming in, should I be looking for another job?
What you should do right now is there's nothing wrong with looking for another job if you want, but you got to drop the anger because it's the anger that is causing you want to leave before time and it causes you to think about what if this happened, what if that happened, what if, and it's making you, it's telling you, what, you better get out of here. This guy's on the phone and blah, blah, blah. You drop the anger so you can see clearly what to do. And you won't live any what if. You'll be able to live with what's happening right now, and you'll deal with the next right now and the next right now. But you'll get into anger and going deeper into the imagination. And the imagination would cause you to fail in life. It'll make you make decisions before needed, before time, or something that's not going to ever happen. You got to drop the anger. Why are you going along with the thoughts about whatever's going on? Why don't you just watch those thoughts and let them pass?
So the day before yesterday, there was a job that we were doing. And the job, just took a long time. And there are some other things that happened, but it was just a bad day.
No such thing as a bad day. There are only bad thoughts.
And I suppose I've just wanted to be more productive. And that's not happening. And it's fine with me.
Are you getting paid for doing the job, whether you're more productive or not?
Right. I'm getting paid.
And so why don't you just do your best and be grateful to get paid and let whatever happens, happen?
I am doing my best. And so I called you for just a little counseling, and then because I think I know what you were going to say, and I wanted to hear you say it.
And so why don't you, what did you think I would say?
For one, that if you're getting paid, just get paid.
Right, you're there to do a job and earn a living, right? And then if you do want to find another job, you could be still kind of on the side looking for another job. But you got to drop the anger so evil doesn't make you make the wrong decision before time.
Yeah, that's right. Totally.
Are you doing the silent prayer, John?
That's another thing. Yes, I am. But now, like, with getting to this morning, like, I just got up real slow. I did the silent prayer, but, and I've been to, like, getting real slow to get started on the day to day, which is not like me.
Right, because you're giving in to the darkness, you're giving in to anger, and it's draining you all your energy and everything.
That's how I feel, so I've just sat and, not acted on it, and I've just dealt with it as it comes in the present.
Yeah. Let the thought go, Johnny. You'll be free of it. And you let the thought go by just simply being aware of the thoughts, and then get up and do what you need to do anyway. And eventually, you allow the light to destroy the thought, which is darkness, and you shall be free. But if you give in to it, it's going to destroy you, John. All you're doing is giving it to the thoughts, and you're calling them you. You still think that you are the thoughts. You don't know the wickedness and the control that thoughts have over your mind, and then it bring on these emotions, and you carry out the act because you believe in what they're telling you.
It's interesting. I see, like, two things. Okay. I told you that it's all being hidden from me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm seeing a new perspective. And then at the same time, like, there's something else that's hidden from me that's trying to, like, drain my energy.
Yeah, just be aware of those thoughts. That's what's happening, and your new life is opening up for you. You have a little light, and if you stay with it, it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter, and you'll be fine. But you get out of. Don't go with them. Don't call them you, and don't forget about I feel mad. I feel this. I feel that. There's no I you. There's no I.
Yep.
So try to drop. Don't go along with the thoughts and see how it goes. All right.
Yeah, I believe that it's going to be amazing. That yeah. I can't even think. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like.
Hold on, John. Hold on. Can you hold?
Yes.
Hold on. I got to take a great. The stretch off is open on pills.net. Right. I'll be back in a moment.
From evil within yourself or outside of self, you got to deal with it.
And you need good in order to deal with evil. And God is good. You need to return to the Father. And you'll see within you, he will fight the battle for you. And he will fight it without. because he will show you how to deal with it, and you will have no fear. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, along with nothing else. Nothing else means yourself, your children, your wife, your things, your ego, your reputation, and all that. You can't care about any of that. The children of anger will use it to control you. But if you love God, he will renew your mind, and none of those things will be before him. And so when they go after you, oh, well, you may take my body, you may take my things, but you're not going to take my soul. And that's a true reality. Welcome back, 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. The Hake, H-A-K-E, report.com from 9 to 11. And you don't want to believe me. If you have not listened to the Hake Report, you're missing it. He is on fire. He is not afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid of no ghost. And after that, the American Anchor Baby, on fire. He has something new. I want you to check it out today. The American Anchor Baby. You'll see at 11 a.m. Pacific time, from 11 to 1. So everybody check out the Anchor Baby and take a look. Amazing. And then a brand new episode of the FallenState.tv on Friday, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. I had an interesting discussion with Adam. I think it's Khan, I'm not sure. Karan? Adam Khan. So I'm listening to my headset and they don't seem to know. Adam Khan, he is a progressive debater. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
They let these foreigners in, and they chant death to America.
You get annoyed with people saying death to America, but Trump and his team are actually trying to bring death to America.
That's amazing. So it's not like you don't like Trump.
Trump is what you might call a beta male, right? He's a liar. He's a sore loser. He's a cheater. He's vengeful and spiteful and hateful. Do you like Obamacare, Jesse?
No.
You don't think people should have cheaper health care?
It's expensive because we got these losers that we have to pay for.
We shouldn't pay for the losers. We should just let them die.
Yes. Amazing. Very interesting young guy learning, growing up, I guess. But you're going to enjoy it. And you can support the Fallen State by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel. And then on locals.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Let me go quickly back to the phones here. Hey, John.
Yes.
Okay, so you have some light there, and it is working. And if you stay present, always keep your mind where your body is and know where you are and what you're doing at all times, the light will get brighter and brighter and brighter, and you'll find yourself living your real life that God intent for you to have. It'll be amazing, all right?
I might be wrong. If I stick with it, and what about the things that are bringing me darkness?
Well,
am I going to go back?
No, I mean you'll go back, meaning that if you give up, you'll go back. If you don't give up, you're never going back. You just could get clear. But let's say that the job is so bad, you realize, you know, I just don't want this job. And you can look for another job without getting angry. But if you stay, if you continue to stay with anger, then the light is going to disappear and you'll just be of the darkness. And so when the anger comes, don't blame the job. Don't blame any other person, no one else. It's in you. It's in your thought. It's in the mind. And it has nothing to do with the job itself. It has nothing to do with someone being on the phone all day or not. It has nothing to do with that at all. It's in you. So that's why when you overcome the thoughts by not calling them you, everything is fine. That person will still be on the phone. The job will still be the job, but you'll be free.
Well, I think I can handle the rest of it.
Yeah. So just watch those thoughts and don't call them you, and you'll be fine.
When you say thoughts, I want to start thinking like, you know, right away I want to start thinking.
And that's what the tempter want you to do. He does not want you to let go, because when you let go of thinking, you only need thoughts, John, to do your job, to prepare your meal, to drive your car, to do practical things like that. You don't need thoughts for any other reason than practical reason. You don't need thoughts to think about your past or your future or what you have or don't have or what you think of yourself or what others think of you. You don't need those thoughts. I'm lonely, I'm this and I'm that. All those are not true thoughts at all.
Right. Those thoughts have been, like, attached. And then, like, I kind of turn into, like, rabid dog. Yeah. You know, we can't give the dog food without getting bit.
But that'll change. And this, I promise you, if you continue to just watch them and do nothing about them, and just watch it, go about your day, go about your life, they will all be taken away because you're no longer identifying with them. So you're not giving them life. You're not reacting. You're not blaming anyone else. And you'll be fine, I promise you. Just stay with it.
Well, I got to get to work, Jesse. So,
okay.
And I'm going to get to work on the truth.
You stay with it. You'll be fine, John.
Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks.
All right. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Sky out of Virginia. Sky, you are on the air.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Sky.
How are you?
All is well.
I was just calling for advice.
Okay.
Just advice on, like, I work in corrections. I work in law enforcement. And I've been working in corrections for maybe about 8 years. However, I've been running into the same issue of just workplace professionalism.
Let me just say this. Don't say where you work or the name of the company or anything, all right?
No.
Okay,
no,
go
no.
ahead.
I just don't know how to deal with workplace professionalism. like,
I know what you mean.
You know, yeah, I'm black. You know what I mean?
She's black.
Yeah, it's just, I've worked at several different, like, facilities, and they all just have the same type of thing going on where it's just, you know, just ghetto, unprofessional, just, it, like, you know, like, not, like, they're not really at work. Like, they more so are in the hood somewhere, or I don't want to be, like, rude, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
You do. And it's just been, like, such an issue for me because, like I said, I've been working in this field for about 8 to 9 years. And within that span, I've been to, like, maybe 4 or 5 different detentions or jails because it's just the same thing everywhere you go. And it's not, it's just retaliation. It's just real clicky. It's very unprofessional. Even like the jargon, you know what I mean? Telling people to stay in their lane and mind their business and just unprofessional. And it's to the point where it's like really uncomfortable for me, and I'm like losing hope because, you know, it's not like this is what I want to do because I love to do it, but I've been doing it for so long, and leaving this would be kind of difficult. So I just need advice because it's just driving me crazy.
And so your question for me is what?
Just advice on like how to deal with workplace unprofessional people. Like
stop,
I'm doing a silent prayer.
Stop judging them.
Stop judging them?
Yeah. They're blind and can't see. As long as it's not affecting your work, you're doing your job, you'll be fine. Stop judging them and let them live. As long as they're not affecting you physically in any way, let them live and do what they want. They want that kind of life. They want to be miserable. They want to be the way they are. So leave them as they are, knowing that that's the way they want to be. But don't judge him, and you just go there and do your job.
Right. I mean, there were times where it did affect me, and I had to leave and go elsewhere because it's just...
Did it protect you? I mean, did it affect you physically?
Not physically, but
did it stop
mentally.
You from doing your job?
It got to that point, yeah.
But how did it affect you in doing your job? How were you affected?
I just don't know how to deal with people who seem like they're just out to... It's almost as if the people, they know that you have things going for yourself and they live in jealousy, and then they do things to try to attack you, start rumors and start being in cliques and...
But how are you personally being affected?
Mentally, because I hated going into that environment and just knowing that every day is something.
And that's your problem. You hate it because there's nowhere on the planet that you're going to go and not have to deal with people. You got to deal with people, and you deal with people by not having an opinion about them. Let them live the way they want to live. You go in there, you be of love, and you'll be fine. You're hating them and hating the way they act and not being professional is affecting you, and it's going to make you lose your job. You're going to leave before time, or you're going to get mad. You're going to do something that will get you fired. But can't you live a life without judging?
Yes, I can.
Well, why would you do that?
I just started a new place.
But you're going to go from place
all over again.
You're going to go from place to place as long as you're reacting and judging. Why don't you stop judging?
I find myself having to make myself smaller, if that makes sense.
No. I don't say anything to make yourself smaller. What? Why don't you stop judging?
Right.
No, that was the question.
Because, I guess overall I am judging in a way, but they do things, I've been in situations where it's just, you end up becoming a target because you're so different and because you're so quiet or because you're not high school or juvenile like these people. You're not ghetto enough for them.
Why don't you stop judging?
Right.
No, that was the question.
I guess I need to practice that.
Why don't you just stop doing it so you can be at peace in any situation? Christ was at peace in any situation, and he was among what you would call the worst of the worst. And yet, it didn't affect him at all because he only had love and no judgment. Why don't you drop your judgment and be at peace and do your job.
Right.
No, that was the question.
I guess, I mean, because it's just, I mean, I normally do. I do my job, but then when it gets to the point where I become targeted by
How
people,
do you become targeted? Give me an example.
Like, I've been in situations where supervisors have made rumors. And like I said, I work in facilities, jails of high security. Imagine a situation where, you know, people are in this clique and they decide they don't like you. And so they start doing things to jeopardize your safety.
Right.
Just childish stuff. And it's
and
just,
so your boss, supervisor meaning your boss, right?
Yeah.
So your boss created a rumor about you?
That has happened, yes. And
is that happening on this job?
No, I just started at this place 2 weeks ago.
And so are you expecting that to happen or something?
No, I'm not expecting it to happen. If it has not happened,
I don't know what the problem is on this job.
Because I'm seeing, for instance, it's like my third week, and just going through the training was just a disaster. You know, like, if you have a situation where someone's ego is being jeopardized, then now all of a sudden they don't like you anymore because you're asking too many questions or you seem like a know-it-all or just stuff like that. It's just,
you're not clear. I don't know what your complaint is. Give me that example. Okay. You were going through training, right?
Right.
Give me one example, as long as it's not too personal. Give me one example that happened to you.
At this place. So I applied for the job, and like you could tell that the supervisor was excited to have me based off my experience. But then
How
when
can
we
you
had
tell
the
that?
Point, because you could tell because they favoritism. That's just what they do. Like,
no,
just,
how
like,
can you tell? How were you able to tell when you applied for this job? The supervisors looked at your experience, and then what happened?
She started to when we would like have breaks or whatever, and we would be in her office. She would say comments about the other new hires and how they're not going to last, and how she really needs myself and maybe like two or three others to become supervisors because this person's not good enough, that person's not good enough. So they're judging.
But what is she doing to you, though? She's not doing anything to you, and you're not responsible for her judging others. Don't you judge her while she's judging others. That's on her. It has nothing to do with you. Tell me something that happened to you.
Right. So...
No.
Everything was going great the first week, and after a while, when we would go into like the facility and different like areas of the facility, and I would ask questions, and we would deal with certain like offenders or whatever, and she would ask my opinion, and if she felt like for instance, like I think one of the situations was there was an argument on the pod or something, and she went to go try to like reconcile and. I kind of, like, handled it a little bit better, and I kind of told her that the way that she was handling it was probably not the best idea. And right then and there, you just see her whole face change, and she was just kind of, like, standoffish. And the next week, she stopped speaking. She started just, I don't know. I don't know if it's PTS from other jobs. It's just stuff like that. It's just,
Let me, because of time, it sounds like your eyes are too much on other people. You need to put them on you and don't get into how she's acting or not acting. As long as she's not affecting you in a physical way, you go in there, you do your job, and don't think too highly of yourself or too lowly of yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. You quietly work on your spiritual life and you physically do your job. You'll be fine. And let her act however the way she's acting. As long as she treats you the way she's supposed to treat your work, meaning she's not attacking you physically or she's not trying to hurt you in a way, let her act the way she wants to act. That's on her. It has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to overcome the world by overcome the world in your mind and then overcome the world by not doing as the world is Jordan.
Right. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
You guess
I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't, like, making, it's just, like, statements, like, oh, you know, so-and-so, her monkey ass needs to get fired already. We need new people. Like, just
honestly. That's all her. It has nothing to do with you.
For now, until she decides to.
But don't even do it for now and until she decides. You don't know that. You stop judging her. Let her act the way she want to act. You do your job. Don't go along with the conversation. You don't have to be a part of the conversations. And just do your job.
But, I mean, like, even that, though, even, like, when you're not, when you're too distant and you're not a part of.
But you don't know that. You haven't been distant yet.
Not at this place, no.
Right. So you don't know that. And you don't want to be distant because you're holier. You want to be distant by not judging them.
Okay.
That makes sense?
It actually does make sense. It makes sense.
Yeah. Let them act the way they want to act. It has nothing to do. They have a right to be wrong. And you have no right to judge them or yourself or anyone for any reason.
Right. Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. It does. And I'm going to.
And this sounds like a brand new job. Go there with a brand new attitude. I'm not going to judge these people. Let them act ghetto. Let them do what they got to do. They can't help it. That's what they want. And then you do your job and you be polite and you go home at the end of the day. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I because I have been through this so many times, I've pretty much figured out the cheat code is to work at night. Whereas less people, less workers, so that's better.
No, the cheat code is not to judge. Stay present. That's the cheat code.
Okay.
Stay present.
Okay.
Because even at night, you're going to run into bad people.
Yeah.
Stop judging and see what happens, all right?
Okay.
All right, let me know.
All right, bye. Okay,
bye now. Super, super. Super chat.
Biggie Bollock says Shapiro, as Brian Shapiro, was out of line attacking Jesse last week.
Oh, on the fatherstate.tv. Check it out.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Bree K bought 5 coffees with no message.
Thank you, Bree K.
Someone, 5 coffees. While I was searching but not finding, I found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all.
Amazing. Thank you.
Fazul, it's a Bible quote, by the way.
Right.
Fazul, evil left, bites the hand that feeds them every time.
Amazing. Thank you.
77 Market on Rumble Rant.
You got to know how to rumble.
Wishing everyone a great Wednesday.
Thank you. You too. I wish that for you as well.
Waylon 1 on Rumble. Jesse, I've been categorizing my thoughts on a mental chalkboard. It allows me to observe them for what they are. It's a tool, this mental chalkboard image, and so far it's working well, he says.
Amazing. I wish you well.
Adam on Cash App. I loved the MJ movie, Jesse. You should see.
Amazing. Thank you, Adam.
Marcus G. Brady Bunch over here is working a boot, worried about everyone, and they mama accept himself and his hate.
The MJ movie is the Michael Jackson movie.
That's right.
Okay. Michael. What was that?
Brady Bunch over here is worried about everyone and they mama except himself and his hate. We love everyone over here, buddy. Pointing emoji, laughing, and heart hands. Marcus G. Talking about Brady from Arizona.
Oh, okay. Derek said the movie was all right. The MJ movie was all right. Amazing. Thank you.
John Z. No message.
Thank
or
you,
just
John.
Ellipsis.
Thank you, John Z.
Thank you kindly. And just let me double check over here. It looks like that. Thank you all. Let me just double check on pill.net. Hake gifted the can and others over there supporting. Thank you as always.
Thank you all.
Thank
Shout
you guys.
Out.
I do believe I could be wrong. That's all for now.
Amazing. Thank you all so much. So we are back on the phones again. It wasn't our fault. It happened with the company, the phone company. They had some type of computer glitch or something wrong. You know how that is. They finally got it restored, the phone. The office phone is working up again, as well as the call-in phone. So all is well. Listen, folks, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. You're going to see, if you stay with it, the control that the wickedness have over you by way of thoughts. When I say all thoughts are all lies all the time about anything, that's not a joke. You got to drop the thoughts. Thoughts are of the devil, of evil spirits, all right? And it made a home in you. Drop the thoughts by dropping the anger. Forgive your mothers and your fathers, and all will be well. Rick out of Hampton, Brian out of New Orleans, and the caller just dropped. I'm out of time. Tomorrow is Bible Thump of Thursday. Drop the anger, folks, and be free. Come out of your prisons of your own mind. Hate Report is coming now, and then the American Anchor, baby. And thank you for your support. Oh, Billy is today, huh? I forgot to mention Billy on Pacha TV. Check out Bill at 2 p.m., a live episode at 2 p.m. on Pacha, PUNCHIE.TV. All right, folks, take care.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name in all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
Hey, listen, before I ask my question, I want to thank you so much. Silent prayer. You know, I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces, like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse, and so I want to thank you so much, and ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Turner. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. You're going to know God and His love. It's going to be amazing.